we definitely need to move away from a recycling-focused system to a reuse-focused system like we had before. If you go back in time, 150 years ago, before the age of plastics, most things were reused.
Hello, this is the Weekly Tradecast, a podcast brought to you by the UN Conference on Trade and Development. I'm Sarah Toms. We're exploring how major events are shaping trade and development and how that affects billions of people around the world. This week, we're looking at rubbish. From plastic packaging to fast fashion to car batteries, we've been building mountains of waste for decades. And it's everywhere, in landfills, in the air, in plants and animals, and in our oceans. About a third of the food produced around the world goes to waste, while plastics can take decades or even centuries to degrade. Joining me now to talk about the problems and some solutions is Enrique Piccini, an economist at UNCTAD specialising in trade, energy and the environment. Henri is a keen photographer with an environmental focus and also a keen recycler. He's just bought a collection of stainless steel plates that he expects to last him forever. Well, welcome, Henri. I hope you like those plates, because that's quite a long commitment.
Thank you for having me, Sarah. Pleasure to be here.
When people think of rubbish, plastic often comes to mind. What are the other kinds of waste that are posing real threats to our planet?
Sarah, humankind makes, extracts, transforms all sorts of artificial materials. And traded in the world system, we have various types of mass, basically. Plastics is one of them. We have used textiles, we have scrap paper, we have scrap metals, we have used electronics and various sorts of composite materials. So there is an array of things that are used that are actively traded in the world and also managed at the national levels. Rubbish doesn't become rubbish once the products are old and are discarded. Actually, throughout the production process of things, rubbish is, or waste or pollution is created. Meaning, most of consumers and people, even myself, we think that products are born in the supermarket shelves, correct? But that's not actually true. In their production, you have a lot of footprints in terms of carbon emissions, dyes that are leaking into rivers from the textiles production, ozone formation, various types of ecotoxicities to land, marine, and terrestrial biosystems. And we should always have in mind that there is pollution before things are in the supermarket shelf and after things are used and discarded. For the downstream, for things that are being thrown away, usually the status quo is that they are captured by municipal waste, solid waste collection systems. Hopefully they are pre-sorted and then part of it can be recycled. But as we know now, the sheer amounts of downstream waste produced are just too much to be caught by any type of municipal waste handling system. So we need to reduce the amount of things we extract, process, and use. That's an imperative.
How can we be more aware of the pollution that is created? Often we think we're being kinder to the environment by opting, for instance, for paper cups rather than plastic cups.
That's a very important question. We are working on that right now, since many countries have asked for our support to identify substitutes to plastics, for example. And by doing life cycle analysis of plastics and of their potential substitutes, such as cotton bags or paper cups, we often notice that the substitute can have actually a worse environmental performance in various types of life cycle indicators than the plastics that they replace. So we should be very careful on substituting one thing that is single use for another thing that is also single use. The best substitutes to what we have now is to have more reusable, like long-lasting products, vessels, containers. But there's a catch here, Sarah. In many countries, those reusable models or systems don't work very well because you don't have clean water to wash the vessels and to keep this system with a hygiene. And also you don't have often renewable energy to make the things move and be cleaned and re-cleaned again in a way that you don't emit more carbon. So it's essential to connect the world of changing materials to the world of reuse and couple with clean water and renewable energy.
Many countries in Asia have been taking trash and now they're more reluctant to do that. What impact is this having on the developed countries that were shipping it out in the first place?
So this has triggered a lot of conflicts between countries and a large shift in waste trades since around 8 years ago, 2016, 2017, when especially Asian countries stopped accepting shipments of waste, especially shipments of scrap plastics, because most of the material was becoming local pollution at the destination. Oh, definitely there has been a lot of soul searching and alternative searching by developed countries, by all countries, honestly, because just outsourcing the problem or outsourcing recycling became more complicated to do. Of course, there has been great progress. The Basel Convention has been amended. Now you can still ship waste or scrap material out of your country towards a destination, but you have to prove first that that material is of high quality and it can actually be recycled. So that's a market we should and can encourage. But many countries also had to uptake, to develop new reprocessing capacities domestically to deal with the material and also to face the need for circularity urgently in the short term. It's also important for a strategic reason, because once you start to remine your own waste or perhaps to reduce the waste you produce, you have an opportunity to buy less materials, have an opportunity to save a lot in terms of energy consumption.
Why do we recycle so little of our waste? And why, for instance, aren't we using more plastic that is recyclable?
Specific types of plastics like PET, recycled PET has been high in demand, especially because it became a fashion to have PET bottles and polyester, like the garments made out of second life or third life plastics. But other types of plastics, like polyvinyl chloride, the PVC plumbing that we often have in construction, they are harder to recycle. They are chlorinated. They pollute more once they're burned, once they lay in the environment. And often it's simply cheaper to either burn it and recover its energy or landfill it than to recycle. And many countries face difficulties to achieve this break-even point where recovery of material is attractive. So there's a need for a rebalancing of policy attention to improve our materials governance system, which is basically the essence of what constructs our world.
Now, another thing we should remember as well is that even recyclable plastic can only be recycled so many times. So doesn't that mean we should be just seeking something totally alternative?
Focusing on recycling will not solve the problem. We'll just remediate it slightly, but do not cure. And we definitely need to move away from a recycling-focused system to a reuse-focused system like we had before. If you go back in time, 150 years ago, before the age of plastics, most things were reused and heavily reused. And then we detached from this world with scientific inventions from the late 19th to the mid-20th century. And we got into a single-use, disposable things world. We need to go back to the reusability of the past with the technology that we have today. That can create a really robust world in terms of hygiene, long-lasting things, things that really lower the cost of access to water, to food, to transportation vessels, to the economy. But in order to have this reusable world working, we really need to have also the water issue sorted out and the renewable energy issue sorted out. The easiest way to conceptualize a circular economy is the 3 R's concept, reduce, reuse, and recycle. The best way to look at circularity is to reduce, to produce and use and discard less things. You also need to know that some plastics and some materials that are single use are here to stay, and they have a good purpose of being there. For example, medical areas. We really want to continue using plastics there because it really make the medical science and healthcare overall much better, safer. And let's get away from this irrational convenience that we are used to. For example, plastic bottles. We don't need those things. We need to have a less wasteful society, because having a less wasteful society means having a richer society to everybody.
Well, here's to that then. Now, thank you to UNCTAD's Henri Pacini for being this week's guest. Tune in to the Weekly Tradecast next week and every week for more insights on the most pressing issues around the world of trade and development. There's even more on our website, UNCTAD.org. I'm Sarah Toms in Geneva. Goodbye for now.